What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and man, do we have a lot to talk about today. The Wizards lost 150 to 129, but that does not matter. Bam Adebayo broke Kobe Bryant's longstanding record for the second most points ever scored in a singular NBA game with 83 against the Washington Wizards tonight. Kobe's record of 81 has been broken. And Bam now sits right behind Wilt's 100 for the second most points in a single game. That's from an outside box score watcher perspective. Like, wow, that's impressive. Impressive for Bam. You got 83, pretty cool. But the way that he got it was pretty gross. If you're watching this and you're like, why? Like, it's a cool moment. Like, why are you being negative about it? When I talk about it, obviously I think what the Heat did was pretty disrespectful, and we'll get into exactly why what they did was disrespectful. But my frustration and anger is more so pointed at the Wizards, and mostly pointed at Brian Keefe for allowing the disrespect to go on. Like, it's one thing for somebody to disrespect you, disrespect your players, your organization, your team, but it's on you if you sit there and you take it and you allow it. And I thought Brian Keefe did that tonight. Alex Starr was great. So was Trey Johnson. So was Will Riley. I'll get to that later in the episode. But I sort of just want to get into Bam's 83 and then sort of my reaction to it based on what I just said. So Bam scored 83. And if you look at the box score, I think he had, what, 43 in the first half, 40 in the second half, 83 points in 42 minutes. I don't think he sat in the second half. He shot 20 of 43 from the field, 7 of 22 from three. And that's, I think, after he started like 5 of 10 from three. He took, and this is the craziest part, right? Bam took 43 free throws and made 36. Both of those, I believe, are NBA records, which is just astonishing. I think he went 14 of 16 from the line in the fourth quarter. And look, in the beginning, right? I think the first half 43 was ethical. It was he couldn't miss in the first quarter. He had 30, I think 31 points in the first quarter, outscored the Wiz 31 to 29. He had a really good second quarter where he had 12 points, obviously sat for a bit. And a lot of that was against Alex Starr. He gave him the work. He couldn't miss from three. He was awesome in the first half. And even in the third quarter, Bam was good. Couldn't miss. And the Wizards, and I'll say this, like, he took 43 free throws. I think pretty much all of them were fouls. Like, the Wizards couldn't guard him. But then you get Alex Starr, who after the first 6 or so minutes of the third quarter sits. And so for the final 18 minutes, you have Anthony Gill and Tristan Vukcevic as your centers that are guarding Bam. And he feasted. They couldn't guard him. He got fouled a lot, and he made a lot of free throws. And entering the fourth quarter, I think he had 67 points. I think. I don't know what he had entering the fourth quarter, but he was close, maybe 62. He was very close. And eventually he started getting there, and he got to 70 points. And then he got to 73 with about 3 minutes left. And you were like, he's got to be like pretty perfect if he wants to. He could easily do it if he wants to get it, but he's got to be pretty perfect. He's got to make the shots that he gets if you think that Bam is going to get to that point, right? And so you kind of look, and I believe he gets to about 73 points at the like the 546 mark, and you're like, okay, like, this is incredibly possible for Bam to get there. But then he misses a couple shots. And then with, I think with 5:21 left, he's at about 74 points, or he was 71 before. With 5 minutes left, he's at 74. He's incredibly close. But then you get a couple possessions where he turns the ball over, and then with 4 minutes left, he misses a three. And so you're at this point now where you have a 143 to 119 game, and I believe Bam Adebayo is at 79 points at this point with 3:26 remaining. Heat are up 24. Bam has 70, either 77 or 79 at this point. And what do the Miami Heat decide that they're going to do? They decide they're going to foul. which is again, you're getting towards the end. Bam is incredibly close. He has a couple of opportunities at 77 to start like making threes, and he just can't do it. I think at 77, he got an offensive foul, and Spoelstra challenged it about 2 seconds, which is completely fine by me. Like you see coaches taking timeouts. Even Brian Keefe down 30 will take a timeout because he's trying to coach his guys till the end. And I get Spo keeping Bam in. I understand even challenging that call. It's like, hey, we're gonna go for the record. And at that point, ethically go for the record. It's not disrespectful at that point when he's so close to leave him in the game and to make sure you're running sets for him. And if he's an offensive foul, challenge it because that's a two free shots at the line for Bam. Like I get all that stuff. But then it gets to a point where it becomes just blatantly disrespectful. And that's where they start intentionally fouling the Wizards. The Wizards challenged as well, and like that was Keefe's way of sort of fighting back. He lost the challenge. But you obviously have Bam Adebayo go to the line, and he makes both free throws. Jaden Hardy misses a shot. They get the rebound. They turn it over, right? So with 1:44 remaining in the game, you have Bam Adebayo, who is very close to the record. He sat on 79 points with about 1:40 left. He's got a couple opportunities to get to the 81 points. He hasn't made the shots. They've turned the ball over. And now you have 1.5 minutes left. And you're like, hey, he can very easily do it. And then you have the Heat intentionally foul with 1:40 left. At that moment, it's 146 to 119. You're up 27 points on a team that's 16-47 with 1:40 left. And you decide after a turnover that you're going to intentionally foul the Wizards in order to preserve time and on the next possession get Bam the ball and just run him down the floor and hopefully he gets fouled. And that's what happens. They eventually foul them and he makes both free throws to tie the record. And then they intentionally foul again. Like their goal was clear to beat Kobe's 81. They knew it was possible. And so they just start fouling. And at that point, like I turned to my dad and I was like, this is just blatantly disrespectful. At a certain point, if you're Washington, like again, I get it from the Heat's perspective. I think it was very disrespectful, and the Wizards have every right to be upset. But if you're the Heat, when is this ever going to happen again? You've won the game. You're trying to get your guy, who's your best player, has been your best player for years. You're trying to get him this record that he probably won't even sniff ever again. I don't blame them for doing it. But it is very disrespectful. It's disrespectful to the game of basketball, but it's also disrespectful to the opponent. You always have people that are crying in NBA about a guy that when the game's over, they go up and they take a shot or they dunk the ball. Now you have a team that's up nearly 30 points. They've won the game and they are intentionally fouling to get Bam the record. Like it was no longer like this ethical, like Kobe's 81. I guarantee you by the end of it, the Lakers weren't fouling the opposing team, the Raptors, in order to get Kobe free throws. And that's why there's a lot of people on Twitter. And I didn't tweet this because, I mean, at some point, like Twitter, people are just going to be like, you're being negative. And like, there's this cool moment. And of course, you're going to choose to be upset about it. And that's fine. Like, I'd rather just talk about it on the pod because mostly Wizards fans that understand where I'm coming from will be listening to it. But what the Heat did was just completely disrespectful. And like, I hope the Wizards remember this moving forward. And I know Wizards fans won't forget it. I think the Heat will make the playoffs. I'm sure most Wizards fans will be rooting against them because what they did was just straight up disrespect. But it worked, right? I mean, they keep fouling and then they keep getting it to Bam, who, I mean, it's literally, I saw Jaden Hardy do it too. Like after the Wizards scored, he intentionally fouled Keyshawn Johnson. Like, I don't know why the Wizards didn't do that. Fight fire with fire. You have a team blatantly disrespecting you. The Wizards were triple teaming Bam by the end of the game. They were face guarding him with Anthony Gill. And then if he got the ball, sending Bilal, sending Bub, and sending triple teams at him. They still couldn't guard him. They kept fouling him. And yes, he shot a lot of free throws, but they were all fouls because Anthony Gill obviously can't check Bam Adebayo. And the Heat knew that. And so the Wizards were doing stuff. Like, it was clear that the game at the end became a mockery. It became a laugh. Everyone laughed at the Wizards because no matter if they triple team Bam, no matter if they try to get stops, we are going to foul them and we are going to just sit here and laugh at them while they allow our guy to get this record. There's nothing they can do about it. And you know what? Good for the Heat. Happy for Bam. He's one of my favorite players. He's awesome on both ends, and it's cool to see him break the record. So there's no like frustration on my end that Bam Adebayo broke the record. Like, cool for the Heat. The way they went about it, I think, was pretty disrespectful, but to each their own. And eventually, Bam gets fouled with a minute 16 left. He makes both free throws to get to 83. They take him out of the game, and then it just sort of goes on from there. And he finishes with 83. I said my piece about how I thought the Heat did was disrespectful. And I try a lot on this pod. Whenever I give any type of criticism, it's never personal, and it's always backed by reasoning. It's always backed by stuff that I believe makes it a fair criticism. What Brian Keefe allowed to do tonight was disgusting. What he allowed the Miami Heat to do to his basketball team, to the organization, to the players on the floor, to the Wizards logo is gross. It's completely unacceptable. You sat there on the sideline and you allowed your team, your fan base, your franchise to be laughed at and disrespected by your opponent. I understand why the Heat did it, but if you're the Wizards, fight back. But why are you not fighting back? You're triple teaming Bam, but it's clearly not working. You could have fouled them. They come out here with a minute and a half left, and they don't think Bam might get the record, so they foul you intentionally up 30, and you didn't even see it. At least from my perspective on the broadcast, you didn't see Brian Keefe saying anything to Eric Spoelstra, as you sometimes see from opposing coaches if they believe their team was disrespected at the end of the game, if they believe a guy should not have taken that shot when the game was out of reach, when they were down by 30. But you just saw Brian Keefe sat there with his arms folded, just allowing his team to be disrespected. And in the grand scheme of things, it's their 48th loss in 64 games. This result will mean nothing. But if you're trying to build a culture, I mean, in my opinion, you have to stick up for yourself. You have to stick up for your team. Show some fight. Even if you allowed Bam to get the 83, at least make sure you do everything in your power to deny it. If I'm Brian Keefe and I'm the coach, I am putting all five players on Bam Adebayo. I am fouling off ball. Once you and the Miami Heat come out here and disrespect my team, my organization, my players as blatantly as you decided to do, your decision, fine by me. I'm going to do the same thing back. The whole crowd can boo, the NBA can be upset, but I have a team, I have a culture that I'm sticking up for. And that's why I thought Brian Keefe needed to stick up. He needed to say something to Spoelstra. He needed to make sure he did more to provide the Wizards with some semblance of opportunity to stop Bam from getting the record. Instead of just sitting there and saying, "Hey, everyone come laugh at my team. No matter what we do, we can't do anything. We're gonna allow this guy to get 83. We're gonna allow us to be completely disrespected by the league, by the Miami Heat. Everyone's gonna laugh at this team." At a certain point, you need to stick up for yourself. And I thought Brian Keefe didn't do that. I thought he didn't meet that moment tonight in terms of a culture building standpoint. And so, like I mentioned, is it that big of a deal? Big picture, probably not. But I can't believe he allowed that to happen. And I don't know if anybody, any reporters are at the game. I'll watch the post game and see if anybody asks him about that or if he makes a statement about that. But I thought Brian Keefe needed to be better tonight. I thought he needed to make sure that he stuck up for his players and for his team in a moment that they were being completely disrespected. And the Wizards' young team, you know, a lot of new faces. You can't really expect when the expectation is to lose a lot of games for them to be like sticking up and getting in a fight over that moment. I'm not saying that they should have started one, but I would have liked to see a little bit more backbone from the team tonight. I can't believe they just sort of allowed themselves to sit there and take it. I can't believe they did that. And so again, like I mentioned, it's not the end of the world. And like obviously you have some fans that are like, it's cool that the Wizards are going to be in the history books now. They'll always be remembered, obviously, as the team that Bam scored the 83 on. But the way that he and the Heat went about it, the way that the Wizards just kind of sat there and allowed it to happen, I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. And I wish Brian Keefe had done a little bit more in that moment. But to end that rant, Bam Adebayo was great. Really happy for him with the 83. Pretty cool. It's gonna, and a lot of people have said like Alex Saar was good, but he allowed Bam to get 83 points. Like he started against him, and Bam dominated that matchup for most of the game. But Alex Saar didn't play the final 18 minutes when Bam scored the last 30 or so points of that 83. And for a lot of it, Alex wasn't on him as the primary defender because he was sitting. Again, it does not mean that Alex Saar was awesome on defense because he had some moments, he had some blocks, but Bam dominated him, and that's been a struggle matchup all career, honestly, for Alex against Bam. The Heat dominate the Wizards the last 2 years, but more so Bam has dominated Saar, which is fine. I mean, Bam's an all world player, and Alex is obviously good, but he's only in his second year. So again, I think it's disingenuous to say that Bam just dominated Saar and got all his points against him, but he still did dominate Saar for the most part. Offensively, I thought Saar won that battle against Bam. He had 13 points in the first quarter on 6 of 7 from the field, was really good there. Finished with 28 points on 12 of 19 from the field. Made a couple of threes. Some really good moments from Alex tonight. In his second game back, he looked pretty rusty in that first game back against New Orleans. Just 7 points in limited minutes. In only 20 minutes tonight, had the 28 points. Went 4 of 7 from three, which is a welcome sight. 6 rebounds. Thought he was awesome. Really did. And again, for the people that are saying that Alex obviously allowed all 83, you know, they lost by 21. Bam at 83. That's his matchup, and he was only a -9. Like that's not that bad, and it sort of shows that, like, yeah, he didn't play too well defensively, but it's not like Bam scored 83 all on him. Apart from that, like I mentioned, like Will Riley was great, 22 points on 4 of 7 from three, got to the line a couple times. You're starting to see him play with more confidence. You know, the sidestep three, the transition triple. His ability to get to the line and draw contact. He's getting a more friendly whistle. The more that you see him, you know, drive to the lane, he's making more of his free throws. So really enjoyed the confidence that I saw Will Riley play with, more command. He had a couple where there were bunnies, and he did everything to beat his man off the dribble, to get to the bucket. He's got such a twitchy game, but he just missed a couple, and his stats would have been even better. But play with a lot of confidence. And then speaking of confidence, no Trae Young tonight, but Trae Johnson continued to ascend. Just 23 minutes, still on that minutes restriction. 17 points on 7 of 12 from the field, 3 of 7 from 3. Really, really thought that he shot it with confidence. He had a couple threes in the first quarter. One was a deep one that he shot with confidence. The other one was an off-the-dribble step back from the corner. There was another corner triple that he made, a couple of middies that he got off the dribble. So you're starting to see him, instead of being this catch-and-shoot guy, like he showed he can be alongside Trae Young. Tonight, he had to do a little bit more himself, create more for himself. And again, he did that. The only difference between this game and the 9 games prior to this 3-game stretch he's been good in is that he's making his shots. He's being efficient in it. This is the third straight game of 15-plus points for Trae. I believe when he finished 3 of 7 from 3, which puts him, I believe, at 12 of 20, 12 of his last 23 threes he's made, which after a stretch of 9 games where he shot just 21%, it's nice to sort of see him getting back on track and sort of figuring that aspect of his game out. But again, thought those three guys were pretty good in particular. Other than, I mean, like Bob Carrington, again, you have stretches where in the beginning of the year, you're really down on Bob, and you really don't like the way that he's playing, the inefficiency, the turnovers, et cetera. And then he has a 2-week stretch where he's unbelievable. Can't miss from three. And you're like, is Bob Carrington back? Has he found himself? But it's sort of been, you know, kind of treading water since that point. You know, not many great games for Bob and a lot of not so great games for him. And I thought tonight was one of those not so great games for him. He had 12 points on 5 of 7 from the field. I thought, you know, he didn't make a three, but he's at his best when he gets to the mid-range. And I thought he got there. He actually got to the rim more often than he typically does, added 6 assists as well. But he also turned the ball over 7 times. And a lot of those turnovers were just unforced, careless turnovers. He had a pass in the third quarter where he was on the wing and threw it to the top of the key just lazily, and it got picked off for a layup. He had one where he got a rebound, went to go up floor and turn the ball over, which led to another Miami basket. And then he had a couple more, and I want to pull up my notes because I took note of some of the specific turnovers that Bub had tonight. Some of the other ones that he had, he sailed the pass. I think it was Will Riley the intended receiver basically, but just passed it so far above his head and into the stands. Like, I don't even think outstretched arms, 6'9" Will Riley touched the basketball because the pass was so over his head. And then he had another entry feed to Sarr where miscommunication just completely overthrew him in the post, turned it over. You see that a lot with Bub in the pick and roll where it seems like he's not reading the defense. He's sort of making up his mind before he really throws any type of pass. It's like once you come off the screen, he could either take the floater or pass it for the lob. And he just says, coming off the screen, I'm going to lob it. And Denny Avdia used to have that problem early in DC. So it's not like it can't be solved. But it is an issue. Keyshawn does the same thing sometimes. So again, not one of Bub's better games. It hasn't been his best season. You got to hope, like he did the final 15 games last year, he really turns it on, and he's going to have the minutes to do so. He started tonight, so 36 minutes. You got to hope that he turns the corner a little bit, maybe proves that he should be a part of the rotation next year. But again, thought that he turned it over, was a little lazy with the ball in his hands. Other than that, again, like Jaden Hardy had 17 points. I didn't like his shot selection, and some people might be upset that I'm saying that, but he was 5 of 12 from the field, 3 of 8 from three. Thought that he really just barreled his way down the lane sometimes, turned it over 3 times. He's a great 3-point shooter, and I think, given an actual point guard in that second unit, he might be a solid option to knock down a couple threes, be a volume scorer off the bench. But I don't think he can really be more than that. And it's sort of showcased itself the last couple of games. Like sometimes you'll have these 17-point outings, and then sometimes he'll shoot 4 of 18, like I think he did earlier in his Wizards tenure. The rest of the bench was pretty quiet. I mean, only 7 minutes for Tristan in his first game back in a bit. Again, I saw my guy Damo tweet out that the Wizards need something else at center next year. You can't really go into next season with AD and Sarr as your starting front court, but then you have Anthony Gill and Tristan Vukcevic as your backups. And I like Tristan. I think he's good for what he is, which is a stretch big that needs to improve his defense. But they obviously gave him a contract. He's under contract for next year on a standard deal. He'll be on the roster, and I think they view him as that backup center. But I think even in limited minutes tonight, it just sort of showcased, like, he drew an offensive foul on Bam, but then Bam realized what to do and just said, here, give me the ball, and just dominated that matchup. That's going to happen sometimes with Tristan. He's pretty thin, and for a guy of his size at 7 foot, he kind of gets bullied in the interior on defense. That's something that he's got to definitely work on in the offseason. And then Gil, 25 minutes off the bench, really played the last like 14, 15 minutes of this game. It was unfair to him, realistically, to just throw him on an island against Bam, one of the best centers in the league, who has a couple inches on him, is stronger than Anthony Gill. And I mean, that's another thing with Keith, like, do something. You just kept the same five guys in the game that clearly couldn't check Bam whatsoever. And Anthony Gill had the assignment. Like, what, he fouled him a bunch. I mean, AG finished with 5 fouls in 25 minutes, but what do you want him to do? He can't guard him. And then that's not Anthony Gill's fault. There's some guys in the league that certain players just can't guard, can't check. And that for Anthony Gill is clearly Bam Adebayo. So I thought it was pretty unfair to sort of see him just left out to dry towards the end of the game. And I had some people ask me, why is he on the team still? I've answered this a lot of times. Like, maybe Anthony Gill isn't going to be giving you production that you need, but you're trying to lose games, and he's a great veteran mentor, and the guys on the team seem to love him. So that's why he's here. And I don't mind that he's still on the team. I think it's a good thing to have for such a young group. But tonight obviously was not his night. It was not most people's nights on this Wizards team. And as a result, I they got plunked. Like, the score didn't even matter. There was a certain point, like the beginning of the fourth quarter, where the Wizards weren't even losing by that much. Like, they were down like 13 or 15, but you thought the game was over because they basically declared the game was over. They said, we're not bringing Trey Johnson back. We're not bringing Sarr back. And we're probably not going to play Champagne much in the fourth. We're just going to pretty much throw out the rest of our bench guys that we want to see get some reps, and we're going to lose. And again, I don't want to say I applaud them for that, but they know what they're doing. And like, no Wizards fan is upset that they lost this game, let alone by 21 points. They're actually happy because they're in a really good spot in the tank standings right now. But like I mentioned, what I think a lot of Wizards fans are upset about, what I was sort of upset about when I was watching how gross the end of that game was not that the Miami Heat did everything they can to get their star player his shine, to get him 83. I think it was disrespectful, but I get it. What I can't get behind is the blatant allowance of that disrespect from a Washington team that's clearly trying to build a culture and trying to build some sort of backbone in this league. And you just sat there and you took it. And I really didn't, I didn't like that. I thought that they should have showed way more fight. They should have fought fire with fire. They should have done more, I think, at the end of the game to at least deter the Heat from allowing, from getting Bam that record. And to me, they didn't do enough. We'll see what Brian Keefe says in the post game presser. But again, like that's probably a pretty good wrap on this pod and sort of my thoughts on the game. Just sort of looking at my notes right now. I don't think I have really much to add. Like I mentioned, it sucks for Sar and Trey and Will because like they had great offensive games that are, I mean, clearly overshadowed. Like Sar nearly 30 and Bam 3x his point total and was his defensive assignment. So it's hard to really celebrate Alex too much, knowing obviously what Bam did, but I'm still gonna do it because I watched the game and I know how good Alex has been from year one to year two, only a second game back from a 10-game absence, which makes it a little bit more impressive as well. And all in just 20 minutes. So those guys played well. The rest of the team, not so much. They turned the ball over an insane amount. How many turnovers they finished with? The Wizards had 25 assists and 24 turnovers. Nice. Like, not too shocking. I think that actually ties a season high for turnovers in a game with 24. But just no answer for Bam. Zero answer. And I didn't like how they handled the end of the game either. And let me know in the comments if you agree with me or you don't. It's very possible you don't, and that's okay. And I'm completely fine if you're happy for Bam. I'm happy for Bam. It's cool. You don't see history like that, let alone against your team. But I just thought that the way that the game ended wasn't cool, especially from the Wizards' perspective, allowing it. To take a look at the tank standings before I let you go here, you got a big tanking game. But before I even talk about that, we got to talk about how the Brooklyn Nets, I think since the last time you guys heard from me, the Brooklyn Nets beat the Memphis Grizzlies for their 17th win. So they are now 17 and 47. The Wizards are 16 and 48, which means that Washington has a full game lead on Brooklyn in, oh, actually, no, because they lost tonight. So the Washington Wizards have a half game lead on the Brooklyn Nets for the third worst record. And then the Utah Jazz beat the Golden State Warriors to improve to 20 and 45, which means the Wizards are now up 3.5 games on Utah overall and 4 wins up on Utah in terms of like wins. The Wizards have 16, the Jazz have 20, and they play in a couple of games, which is really good news for Washington, considering the Jazz still have to play some fellow tanking teams as well. But the big game tonight is Indiana at Sacramento. 4 minutes left in the first half. In Sacramento, the Pacers are currently up by 11. Again, I don't think it really matters who wins that game. Whoever does will be tied with the Wizards at 16 wins. If Indiana wins, like it's looking like, they'll be a half game worse than Washington. So the Wizards won't be officially tied for the second worst record. But once the Wizards lose their next game, which I believe is at Orlando, they'll probably be tied with pretty similar records. And again, there's still 2 games to be played between the Brooklyn Nets and the Sacramento Kings. I believe the Pacers still have to play some pretty bad teams. Meanwhile, the Wizards have the second hardest schedule remaining in the league. So they're in a really good spot at 16 and 48. Again, it's getting towards the end of this one, of this season, only 18 games left. And it's sort of just get to the finish line. Like it's, the Wizards are going to play some really bad basketball. You know, Trae Young sat tonight for injury management, even though it's not the first or second night of a back-to-back. That was just like, hey, we're just going to hold him out for precautionary reasons. And if I'm a Jazz fan or if I'm a Pacers fan and I got fined, again, this isn't as egregious, but it's still injury management. And that's a little tricky when it's like, hey, this guy's healthy enough to play, but we're going to hold him out just to be cautious. Again, a lot can be speculated there, especially when it's considered that they have a top 8 protected pick. You find other guys before. You said you're going to be harsher on tanking. I doubt they'll get any punishment. I don't think they should, but I mean, the precedent's been set, so we'll see. But no Trae Young for this one. I would expect him to be back for the next game. But other than that, that's probably gonna wrap it up for this episode of the Wizards podcast. A pretty eventful one at that. Obviously the Wizards lost by 21. They're in a good spot in the tank standings. You had great showings from Sar, Will Riley, and Trae Johnson. Bam Adebayo scored 83, but I didn't like how the Heat handled the end of that game, and I especially didn't like how the Wizards responded to that. I'm gonna go after this once the Wizards post Brian Keefe's post-game presser on YouTube like they typically do. I'm gonna watch that, and we'll see if anything is asked or if he makes any sort of statement. But I didn't like how he handled it. I thought the Wizards needed to show a little bit more fight at the end of the game, and they didn't. Not the like, again, this is I'm probably blowing this out of proportion. Maybe I'm not. But would have liked to see them show a little bit more fight towards the end of that game. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Wizards podcast. We'll be back, I believe, on Thursday night to recap the Wizards game against the Orlando Magic. Thanks for listening, as always. Go Wiz.